dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of The Doug and Danny Show, where we are jam-packed on this Thursday. Glad you're along with us. Today, we're going to talk Nebraska Baylor football. We'll talk with former Husker Brendan Stye, and we'll also catch up with the play-by-play voice of the Baylor Bears, John Morris. Stu Pospisil is going to join us from the Omaha World Herald, because if you didn't know, state football starts today, and Joe DeMeo, FantasyPlayersEdge.com.
Perfect start to the show, Doug. I can't wait. If you have not noticed, today's papers are out. Dirk Chatelain, who's been a thorn in Sean Watson's side, has produced some numbers from last year, and comparing last year to this year, and it's some amazing things can be seen. That's on the front page of the sports section of the Omaha World Herald. But we're getting right after Nebraska football, Doug. Right after it. Brendan Stye joins us right now. Brendan hosts the post-game show after the game the last 2 weeks. That had to be quite a challenge, Brendan. How'd you make it through all that?
Well, you know, just being a former player and a fan more so now, it was tough, but we made it through it. And you know, obviously, we got a lot of interesting calls. Tried to pull as much from that as we could, and be as analytical as we possibly could. But 8 turnovers, you're just banging your head. Tough deal.
Brendan, you ever seen or been a part of anything close to that? And if so, what do you do when that happens?
Well, as a player, I have been a part of it. In the NFL, I played for the Redskins for a little bit there, and played with a guy named Patrick Ramsey. Well, Patrick, the game before he ended up getting the first start, he came in for Danny Werfel and had a great game. We ended up beating the Titans, that year went on to actually play in the AFC Championship game. But so that next game, we played the New Orleans Saints, and he threw 5 interceptions in the first half. And I think he ended up with a total of 7 for the whole game. So, you know, with a quarterback going through something like that, all you can do as an offensive lineman, as a compadre, is, just rally around him, especially a young player like that. And those type of situations, as a player, it feels like a snowball that just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's kind of it's out of your control. It's almost this unbelievable thing that's happening to you. You can't control it, and so you just got to keep fighting through it.
Brendan, trying to get through things like that, and we practice with wet balls to hopefully focus on the drops and whatnot. Is it just a mental deal that's got to be taken care of right now, and the focus got to be taken off of it a little bit?
I think individually, if you got a guy who's consistently doing it, it's a definite mental deal. For example, a running back who has got a case of the fumbleitis. But when you spread it out like we did the other day, that's an anomaly. It's something that I guarantee you're never going to see happen again, as long as Bo Pelini's a coach. Those guys are obviously all week, and I'm sure all year, and their coaching philosophy and their approach is always ball security. And so it's a little bit more of an emphasis, but I'm not concerned about their inability to go out there and not be confident about what they're doing. It was one of those things that like I said, it was a snowball effect, and hopefully we don't see it, but I'm sure you're going to see a lot more ball security.
Brendan Stye is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show as Nebraska gets ready for Baylor. Brendan, the debate weighs on. Do we go with Cody Green? Do we go with Zach Lee? Do you think that's the number one problem with the football team right now, is who's running it, or where does it start to get better?
No, I don't think that's the problem at all. As a matter of fact, I'm very confident that Zach Lee can get the job done. I mean, if you look at what we've been doing offensively, even last game, we were moving the ball. We put up fairly decent numbers. I mean, the score should have been 35-plus plus in winning that game. We score one more touchdown, we win. And I don't know if we're necessarily talking about Zach Lee as much as we're talking about ball security and receivers, you know, catching balls and blocking on the perimeter and, you know, guys up front having better technique and at the point of attack. But, you know, I think, you know, I was a little surprised due to the fact that we were playing Iowa State last week. I thought we might see Cody Green a little bit, maybe in the second half. You know, and as a coach, you probably were hoping that you were up by, you know, at least two or three touchdowns to give them that that sense of security to go out there and just play. But obviously, backs against the wall, you stick with the guy that you've been working with all season long. And it's kind of like, you know, I think the analogy to take with the quarterback position is, you know, if it's somebody that hasn't been doing it all along and been in the game when the bullets are for real the whole time, it's kind of like, you know, these NFL teams that are running a wildcat. The wildcat offense is something you got to practice all the time. As a unit, you got to be running all the time. If you go in each week kind of saying, well, we might trickle a little bit of a wildcat scheme this week, you know, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to have as much success as you would when you're practicing it all the time. And so I think going with Zach Lee, you know, the coaches are very confident. The problem is, you know, as a whole, offensively, I mean, we've just got to bring it together.
Brandon, can there be a point, though, maybe the coaches are confident, but the rest of the team just says, we're not real confident in this guy. We'd like to go a different direction.
That's a tough deal. You know, I've never been really a part of a locker room like that, per se. You know, it's one of those things. I think right now the way the mentality that Bo Pelini has you know, bred over there at the university is, hey, you know, we're all in this together. Whoever we put out there, you know, we have one goal in mind, that's to go win football games, and we're a one unit. We believe in each other, and so the dissension, if you're getting to something like that in the locker room, I from what I've read and what I've heard, you know, I don't feel that that's happening right now, but you never know. I mean, you could have that. I go back. I take back what I said. I did have a little bit of a dissension in a locker room one time with a football team, and that was with one person's, his character, really, that was being in question, rather than anything else, you know, as far as his play goes. I mean, it wasn't as good as you'd like to see, but the character really kind of overshadowed everything else. And so I think, you know, this team has a good sense of unity. And, you know, moving forward, I think everybody, you know, if you look at what the defense has been doing every week, I'm sure those guys in the locker room, you know, during the game and out on the practice field, you know, they're telling those guys, hey, listen, you just keep plugging away. You'll get through it. We've got your back. It might require our defense to step up and score a couple touchdowns, you know, and give us a chance to have a little bit of breathing room, maybe that confidence better instilled to go out and do what we need to do.
Brendan Stein joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show here. Of course, he's been fielding the calls of the postgame show on the Husker Network, and I guess one of the things that has been brought up quite a bit this last week from some of the callers, some of the emailers, Brendan, is, who is the leader offensively of this football team? We kind of know who's leading the defense, but is there, you mentioned, like, if you had somebody that was not in line, somebody'd step up and kick their ass is what they do, and there's nobody on this football team, and I'm not sure that that's what they need. Is there an offensive leader, though, that they can look to?
Boy, that's a good question. I don't really see it, and sometimes, you know, there's two different types of leaders. You get your silent leader and a guy who's real vocal, And I think there was a little bit of a misconception of what happened this week on the sideline. I believe Keith Williams got into Robinson's face a little bit. But I think that was more of kind of like, hey, listen, we're not about, you know, have that kind of attitude out there, rather than, you know, he wasn't getting in his face, you know, because he fumbled. I just think the leadership that has to happen, obviously, up front, you know, it starts with those guys up front. And I would like to see, you know, a Hickman or Keith Williams or one of these guys step up and just have that passion every single time they step out on the field offensively. And then, of course, when things are going bad, I mean, you're not and holler and Banny Roostin when things aren't going well, because obviously everybody's got to collectively focus, you know, individually. And then, of course, when things start to get going really well, then the guys that, you know, have that leadership ability can get out there and then really take the bull by the horns and carry it. But, you know, defensively, I think we've got, you know, a few leaders out there, both, you know, guys that are silent leaders playing. I think Ndamukong Suh is one of those guys who just plays by example. Hey, you guys follow my lead. Here we go. There's some other guys out there, I think, that are you know, just spirited leaders, you know, like a Philip Dillard. Here's a guy who brings his lunch pail to work every single day, goes out there and plays his butt off, and those guys rally behind him as well. You know, it's a lot different from when we were playing, you guys. You know, we had some tremendous leaders on our team, and that was collected. You know, I mean, if you look at when I was playing, those guys at over the years of saying, look, we didn't have the type of leadership that we needed. We need to bring that, and we need to instill that. And that takes time. And unfortunately, you know, in the game of college football, we have a whole lot of time, especially, you know, guys are playing early now. I mean, they're in and out. So you got to take advantage of your situation when the opportunity arises.
Brendan Stye joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Brendan, okay, offensively, are you a fan of the offense? What would you start? What changes would you make immediately?
You know, I think at the receiver position, I like what they're doing. They're mixing it up. They're letting those guys know if you're not going to be catching the ball, if you're not going to be, you know, doing the things that need to be done, receiver, then you're going to be replaced. And I think they've done that. I'd like to see, you know, a little bit more of a mix of the power game. You know, we dabbled in it last week. I believe the drive that we did score on, we had a good power game going north and south. And, you know, as far as this quote-unquote West Coast offense, I mean, I think there's a lot you can do and evolve into your own type of, you know, West Coast offense that involves, you know, the stretch game. And we need to actually get bigger plays over the top. You know, we need to take advantage of when they're playing too deep. That zone underneath, I think our quarterback needs to understand when he does come up to the line of scrimmage, he needs to read the defense a little bit better. Having a little bit more of an audible game in our package, being able to, you know, catch them off guard, keep them on their heels. I think our offense right now is way too predictable. It just reminds me of an NFL offense. I mean, those guys, when those defensive linemen, those guys over there know it, you're throwing the ball, they're pinning their ears back and they're coming at you. So keeping them off balance, you know, but those guys, you know, I mean, obviously they're paid to coach, and the game plan that they put together obviously is a tremendous amount of work during the week, studying a team. And so, you know, my prediction this week is that we're going to come out and we're going to run the ball and we're going to run it well against this defense. And I think Halu is going to, you know, be back to where, you know, when we saw him at the beginning of the year, he's going to be running the ball well. And I think we're going to take our shots a little bit more.
Well, Brendan Stye has been joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. I guess the last question, just kind of follow up on that. What do you see happening for the remainder of the season with this 2009 Husker crew?
Well, I don't see a team that's going to quit. You know, we've got two good coaches that are back there, you know, telling these guys, hey, listen, this is a definite bump in the road. You know, football season's full of peaks and valleys, and right now we're in a valley. You can't get much lower than 8 turnovers and not being able to put any points on the board when you've got one of the best defenses in the nation. So I think, you know, the picture that I see is obviously we go down to Baylor, we have a good game, we're going to be challenged with Oklahoma at home. I think Baylor's going to be critical in order for us to grab that momentum offensively and establish some sort of identity going in and hopefully, you know, come out on top of, you know, with Oklahoma. And then I see us winning out. If that happens, we've got a good shot at the North.
Brendan Stye, Brendan Dick LeBeau, or Bo Pelini, who's a better defensive mind?
Oh, well, no doubt, Dick LeBeau. You know, I tell you, that guy's he's been around for a long time. He played the game. He had a Hall of Fame career as a player, and he had a Hall of Fame career as a coach. And I just absolutely enjoyed being around him when I was in Pittsburgh. And you know, it's a treat to see the success that he's had. And I think he's influenced a lot of different coaches in the league. And you know, hey, Bo's on his way. He's young. You know, obviously, you know, this is something that you know, I think Bo can do. You know, he's Bo and Dick are two different type of personalities. The personality that Bo has a lot like Bill Cowher. Dick LeBeau is very laid back, has the ability to put guys that are on his team in a position to win based on their talent. And I think Bo has the same ability. Bo shows it a little bit more. He wears his heart on his sleeve, but definitely Dick LeBeau will go down as one of the best defensive coordinators that coached the game.
Fair enough. Thanks so much for the time today on the Doug and Daddy Show, Brendan. We'll catch up with you again in the future.
Sounds good. You guys have a good one.
Thanks, guy. Brendan Stye joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Of course, you hear him if you're up late for Husker games, unless they're 11:30 kickoffs, then then they're off by midnight. But Brandon with the Husker Sports Network. Coming up, John Morris to talk about Baylor football. I don't even think Baylor folks are really too fired up reading and listening to some of their comments. So we'll find out from him, Stu Pospisil, the Omaha World Herald. Joe DeMeo is going to join us from FantasyPlayersEdge.com. If you've got a fantasy football question for Joe, fire it off to the Debt Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy. At ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Back after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM. Hey guys, the boss just asked when we dropped our grade school requirement for all on-air personnel.
If you've noticed a change in your hearing, then it's time to see ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center. The unique partnership between our audiologists and physicians allow us to provide unsurpassed care and state-of-the-art hearing health care. To learn more about our practice and the services we provide, visit our website at entphysiciansofkearney.com. Caring for our community one patient at a time, we're ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center.
How do you say go Lopers? You say it with a Loper t-shirt, a Loper hat. You say it with a painted body and a giant foam finger. And you always say it with pride. Come gear up at the College Store in Kearney and get everything you need for the season. Stop by our new store before the game for incredible specials on all of our Loper merchandise. It's game day every day at the College Store, located at 1420 West 24th Street in Kearney, or online at thecollegestore.com/UNK. The College Store. Go Lopers!
Hi, folks. This is Darrell Waltrip, NASCAR champion and the proud owner of a geothermal heating and cooling system from Water Furnace. You know, I learned a long time ago that to be a winner, well, you got to have the best machine and the best team. That's why my new home is heated and cooled by Water Furnace Geothermal. It's clean, reliable, economical, and here's the best part. It's made in the USA. Now, in my book, that's a winning combination. So call your local Water Furnace dealer today.
We don't cut corners, Vidalki Heating and Air.
Whether it comes in a glass, on a plate, or in a bucket, Cunningham's Journal in the Loft has specials that year in and year out make them a favorite for Kearney area sports fans. College or pro, the TVs are always on, the crowd turned up, the food and snacks hot, and the beverages cold. Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, ready to roll through the fall and winter sports seasons. And when the game isn't on, the live entertainment is at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, downtown Kearney.
The 2009 World Series on ESPN Radio.
Swing and a miss. He struck it out with a slider running down and in.
Cliff Lee and the Phillies continue to play lights out as they take Game 1 of the World Series against the Yankees.
Headed for the bleachers and way back into the bleachers. A spectacular home run for Chase Utley.
Game 2, Phillies and Yankees tonight at 7 on ESPN Radio 1550.
Will stay cloudy with rain continuing at times through the day today as temperatures stay falling from the 40s early with northwest winds developing at 10 to 20 miles per hour. We'll then see rain mixing with and changing to some wet snow tonight with a low near 30. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 50.
Doug and Danny Show. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Oh, yeah. That's right. It's not all football, people, because it was a good Wednesday night in the Bronx as Cliff Lee did exactly what we thought he would do as he went out and shut down the New York Yankees. Three pitchers in the history of the World Series have struck out 10 or more and walked no one in a game. And last night, Cliff Lee did it as the Phillies defeated the New York Yankees by a score of 6-1.
Chase Utley had an opportunity in the ninth to become one of only three players, become the fourth actually, Babe Ruth twice, Reggie Jackson once, hit three home runs in the World Series game.
So solid. Game two is tonight. And we'll see how things Pedro against A.J. Burnett. First pitch at 6:57. ESPN 1550 will have the entire game. We will join it after our high school playoff game here on ESPN 1460. So that's going on. We're going to get into the high school football playoffs in the second half. We've had some postponements, some different start times because of the weather. But we're just a couple of days away now from Nebraska, hoping to get back on the right track, Daddy. And I guess the same can be said for Baylor. Not a lot of people around the nation are going to be clamoring around their television sets for this one.
Well, let's go to Baylor and see what the play-by-play guy John Morris has to say. John, thanks so much for the time today on the Doug and Daddy Show, and welcome once again.
You bet. Good to be on with you guys. How you doing today?
Well, we're doing okay, John. John, these teams are heading in two different directions, maybe for two different reasons. Obviously, we knew when Robert Griffith got hurt at the beginning of the season, Baylor was going to struggle a little bit. Didn't necessarily see this coming in Lincoln. Let's start with Baylor. Things have not been good since he went down. Is there any light at the end of the tunnel? Is there anything to Baylor fans to believe that this is going to get turned around before the end of the year?
Well, I hope so. I mean, that's a big loss, obviously. When you take a dynamic player like Robert Griffin out of the lineup, it's just, it's some would say a hole that can't be filled because of how good a player is and he is and how much he brought to this team. But by the same token, you know, injuries happen to every team, and you just have to, that's where your depth shows up. That's where younger players sometimes get a chance to play and get an opportunity, and they've got to perform. So I think our coaches are burning the midnight oil, you know, trying to find a way and a plan to win games without Robert Griffin.
How different is the offense?
Not a lot, really. You would think it might be. I think Robert obviously did some things really, really well. The zone read is one of those that he just did really, really well that will still run, but it maybe is not as effective without him. For instance, I mean, he had the ability to, and you guys saw it last year, the game in Lincoln. He could take, you know, a short carry off the left side and go 40 yards for a touchdown, and he always had that threat because of his speed, and we really don't have anybody that has that kind of threat. But then again, if you took a player of that quality off any team, they might drop off a little bit also.
Nick Florence is the man that has taken over at the quarterback position, trying to get some things done on the ground, has thrown a little bit, not a lot, been okay through the air, a couple touchdowns, a couple of picks. But obviously, John, the offense has struggled in all three conference games.
Yeah, it really has. And trying to, you know, look for some consistency, some rhythm, whatever you want to call it, you know, they just haven't found it yet with Robert Griffin out of that lineup. And it's not just him. Our leading rusher is a guy named Jay Finley, who played the first two games and was over 100 yards, you know, averaging both of those. And then he had a high ankle sprain, and then he had a quad pull. So he's really been slowed as well. So those are, you know, you talk about what Baylor's lineup looked like the first game of the year, and you take out your quarterback and you take out your top rusher, and, you know, that's what Baylor's dealing with right now. So without those guys, they've just had looking for other people to step up.
Boy, that wasn't a problem for our opponent last week. Woo! John Morris joins us here. The play-by-play voice of the Baylor Bears is with us on the Doug and Daddy Show as they host the Huskers. And, John, I guess just to kind of put the wraps on that part of the conversation, it's not going to get any easier. I mean, that's what Nebraska does well this weekend. I would assume that will continue.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it's Baylor's got to find some ways to get some rushing yards, but this is the worst week of the year to try to find that or try to establish some kind of running game. So that's the challenge for Baylor this week. It is not easy whatsoever, but, you know, it never is here in the Big 12 Conference. And our guys, they do have a really good attitude. I mean, they're going out, and they've lost three straight now in Big 12 play, but they're still working hard and trying to find a way to win.
John, what's been the, I guess, Art Briles in his second year? If you're a Baylor Bears football fan, patience is one of your virtues. How much time do they give Art Briles?
Oh, I think that's not even a question right now. Last year, Baylor was 4-8 and disappointed with that record, but you could see the signs of improvement. Baylor was just more competitive in games. They were competitive into the fourth quarter of games, even if they ended up being a loss. And then this year, been hit hard with those injuries. So, you know, that should not even be a thought or a question, certainly in the minds of Baylor fans who have seen the way that Coach Briles has come in, really brought the Baylor community together, recruited really well, but then been hit by those injuries this year. So, no, that's not even a question at all.
Talking with John Morris, the play-by-play voice of the Baylor Bears, as they host Nebraska coming up on Saturday at 11:30. John, we all knew that Robert Griffin was going to be the spark offensively, but that this team was supposed to have a really nice defense led by Joe Pavelic, Jordan Lake, and all the great guys that we got a chance to talk to and meet at Big 12 Media Days this summer. How are they handling the offensive struggles on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, it's been tough, and you know what it's like when the offense can't put drives together and they go three and out, then all of a sudden the defense just sits down on the bench and they got to go right back onto the field. So it's really been tough. It has been taxing on the defensive guys to be out there as much as they have. I think they have handled it okay, not great, obviously, you know, with our record right now. But it has been tough on them. But that's an area they just sort of, you know, took on their shoulders, and knowing that Robert was out, everybody, every position on the team felt like they needed to step up their level of play, and certainly the defense is a big part of that.
John, how do you see this game breaking down on Saturday from a Baylor point of view?
Oh, no, you tell me how many turnovers you can promise, and maybe we'll know more about it.
One. I'm going to go one, John, one.
You think?
Yeah.
You think there'll even be one this week?
We're not perfect, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that was unbelievable when we were watching your all's game, the end of your game, and the score up there. And we said, in fact, when we got a score early, we said there must be some turnovers involved there. And little did we know how many turnovers there were. But from Baylor's perspective, again, they'll try to, you know, stick to their knitting and do what they can do with Nick Florence, who's a freshman at quarterback. Again, like I said, try to establish some sort of rushing game, which would be hard to do against that great defensive front and defense of Nebraska. And then, you know, just try to keep Zach Lee and company in check this Saturday. So we'll see how it plays out.
Well, John, first of all, I think Cody Green is going to be the starter on Saturday. That's my personal opinion. There's some interesting ties with Cody Green, his sister in the athletic department down there. He knows a lot of the players.
Yeah, exactly. Ashley is his sister who has worked here and worked with our football program. And, you know, she's a very familiar face around the athletic department. So it's great to see her and see that connection. But, you know, we hope Cody has a great career at Nebraska and just doesn't have a great game this Saturday against Baylor.
Well, John, I just want you to know, if you see Zach Lee on the field, you should feel very, very comfortable as a Baylor Bear fan.
Really? Okay. I'll take that.
Yeah, that's been the fight here in Nebraska for the last 3 weeks. John, we appreciate you giving us some time this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show. Have a great call on Saturday, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you again soon.
Guys, it's always great to visit with you. Appreciate it. Let's do it again.
Take care. John Morris, play-by-play voice of the Baylor Bears. We'll make our predictions tomorrow. Also, NFL Power Rankings tomorrow. We will not have time to get to that today, and that's kind of a back burner, really, as far as what's going on. Mike Perenio from the Mandalay Bay, our main man from the Racing Sportsbook, going to join us. All the rumors going on about how bad the books took a beating last week. We'll talk to him about that and if all the big-time favorites will continue to cover. Coming up, Stu Pospisil of the Omaha World-Herald is going to join us. Joe DeMeo of FantasyPlayersEdge.com. If you've got a question for either, all you have to do is fire it off to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Greg in Roseland says, question, who are the offensive playmakers on this Husker team? Answer, none. Question, is Roy Helu hurt worse than we think? Answer, yes. Question, we say we want to emphasize the run. Answer, then why don't we run the ball? Actually, that's probably answer question, but whatever. Question, do we have a fullback? Answer, And question, why do we throw and we have no one that can catch? Answer, because I'll show you the West Coast offense works. Greg in Roseland. Thanks, Greg.
Well, hopefully we get back to the power running game a little bit more and start maybe getting away from the West Coast offense just a little bit.
Well, it's going to be a cold one and kind of a damp one out there for the high school football playoffs, and maybe your youngster needs a little gear, whether it's gloves, whether it's whatever, extra pair of socks, whatever you could use out there. Maybe you just need some more footballs, athletic director. Misco Sports is the place to be on the bricks of the downtown Kearney Center. They're open 7 days a week, including late till 8 on Thursday. Today is
Thursday.
There you go. Cold weather gear for you at Misco Sports. Maybe you're going to be outside watching the game today. Get yourself a little hooded sweatshirt, either for Kearney High, Kearney Catholic, the Lopers, the Huskers, or your favorite college and NFL hoodies, and then you get a big old coat to put on top of that. You'll be ready to go. Misco Sports on the bricks in the downtown Kearney Center. Last night, the UNK volleyball team, thanks for coming up, Peru. Wow, less than an hour to just trash them, 25-6, 11-9. And the Huskers beat Texas Tech, but I wouldn't even call that very impressive because Tech hasn't won a conference game and has won one set in conference all year long. But they get the win. Now tomorrow night they play at number 2 Texas.
Give him a chance, Doug? No chance. No chance.
No. We'll take a break of the Doug and Daddy Show. High school football talk with Stu Pospisil of the Omaha World Herald next.
It was just last week when a Doug and Daddy listener was overheard making this remark.
Gonads are useful for their purpose, but they are no substitute for brains.
Guess that about sums it up.
Right now, the Home Depot has 15% off select special order windows and doors from top brands like Geldwin and Feather River. Many are Energy Star rated for lower energy bills. That's savings you can put toward a programmable thermostat or better insulation, which should give you a nice warm feeling inside your wallet. 15% off select special order windows and doors. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through October 21st, U.S. only. See store for details.
You know that great feeling you get when you find money in an old jacket? That's how you'll feel when you go a little farther between fill-ups using BP gasoline with Invigorate. When used continuously, all three grades of BP gasoline with Invigorate help clean and protect dirty engine parts. And since a clean engine runs more efficiently, BP gasoline with Invigorate can help restore mileage lost to a dirty engine. To help your car get a few more miles per tank, try BP gasoline with Invigorate.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
You have more power than you may realize when it comes to managing your health care costs. With a health savings account partnered with the right health plan, you gain control over your medical dollars. Ask today about the new HSA eligible plans available from two names you trust, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, and your Farm Bureau agent. With Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, you get the best of both. Matt Myers and Rich Peters are independent and authorized insurance producers of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. For your health insurance needs in the Kearney area, call Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters at 234-4922. That's 234-4922. Make the call today and get the best of both with Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska.
We'll stay cloudy with rain continuing at times through the day today as temperatures stay falling from the 40s early with northwest winds developing at 10 to 20 miles per hour. We'll then see rain mixing with and changing to some wet snow tonight with a low near 30. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 50.
Doug and Daddy Show rolling along on a Thursday. Man, it's almost the end of October. Halloween coming up on Saturday.
Boo.
You fired up for that?
Oh, always. Always. Looking forward to the kids stopping by. Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. Hopefully 55 degrees.
A little worried about you.
Hey.
You know what? I heard what you're going to do, though, is not only are you going to throw a little candy in there, but just in case... Just in case you're living on the outskirts, maybe out there on the farm, you got some farm kids, because I know you're going to have some of those rolling into town that you know. They're going to be trick-or-treating. Not only are they going to get some candy or whatever goodie you're giving, you're going to throw in the number of your local Dyna-Gro dealer.
1-800-652-9298. Ask about the VT triple corn hybrids that are new in Dyna-Gro's lineup, like 57 V38, 57 V07, and 58 V72. Three hybrids you can run your farm on. Dyna-Gro is where it's at. 1-800-652-9298. You're not out there picking corn today, but I know you just picked some Dyna-Gro. You saw the success. You saw the yield come from that field. Call your local Dyna-Gro. Make sure they've got the seed for your farming operation. Make sure they've got the local dealer to know what to put on your farming operation. 1-800-652-9298. Ask them about the seed selection process. Ask them about the 60-60-60 program. all kinds of programs and see deals for you at DynaGirl, 1-800-652-9298.
The state football playoffs begin today, but for some, they're going to have to wait because of the storms in the western part of the state. Maybe not as bad as they thought, but still bad enough to move some things. Here's the very latest from the Nebraska School Activities Association. In C1, the Battle Creek-Hastings-St. Cecilia game has been moved to Hastings College, and they will play that at 6:30. We will still have it for you on KHAS. Boone Central at Shattern has been moved to Friday, 5 o'clock Central. Valentine at Gordon Rushville has been moved to Friday at 6 o'clock Central. In Class C2, Cross County Sutherland, they've been moved up to 1:30 kickoff this afternoon. In D1, Crawford Garden County postponed to Friday at 2 o'clock Central. Callaway Maxwell, they will play today, but they've moved the kickoff up to 3 o'clock. In Class D2, SEM at Hayes Center, they moved it up a whole hour. Woo! That's going to be at 5 o'clock. Spalding Academy at Hyannis has been moved to Friday at 4:30 Central Time. Lynch Mullen postponed to Friday at 5 o'clock Central Time. Potter Dix at Pleasanton has been postponed until Friday at 4 o'clock Central Time, and we will air that on Classic Hits 98.9. And this just in, Perkins County at North Platte St. Pat's has been moved to Friday at 7 o'clock. Well, on his way to some games that they're actually going to play today, the prep sports editor of the Omaha World-Herald, Stu Pospisil, joins us this morning. Good morning, Stu.
Morning, guys. And my games actually involve a couple of your area teams. So
yeah, you're going to be up at O'Neill for the Loomis St. Mary's, and then Axtell Burwell, and Stu, I know you are able to watch more of the 11-man games in the Class A and the Class B as that moves along, so you want to get out and you're interested in seeing some of these games. But who would have ever thought you've got a Burwell-Axtell matchup? That's one of your games you're going to. Burwell loses to who I believe is the best team out there in Palmer by a touchdown and had the lead late in that football game. And Axtell was number one for a little bit. That's kind of a cruel first-round matchup.
Well, it's a shame that matchup comes so early, and you know I've seen Palmer this year play Shelby when Shelby was ranked number one in my rankings, and Palmer put them away pretty handily. So, you know, the Burwell's a good team. Axtell, I think, had maybe a misfire or two. I think 6-2 might be a little less than what they were expecting, but you know, second season, and Axtell can knock out a very good team in the first round and make another run towards Lincoln.
Stu, I'm always interested in the deepest class, in your opinion. How many teams in that class have a chance to bring home a title in Lincoln?
I think 8-man-1 is probably deeper than it has been because Howell's probably is a notch under what we thought they would be. But that said, I may still go with Howell's to win it all, because they were within 2 points of Bancroft Rosalie and had a chance to tie the game on virtually the last play of the game on a two-point conversion. So with Howell's quarterback in there, and if Clint Bellina's healthy, you still got the road's still got to go through the Bobcats.
Stu Pospisil of the Omaha World-Herald joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Let's start at the top, kind of work our way down, classes A and B. With Grand Island in there, and they draw an Omaha North team that maybe has their ship pointed in the right direction after some rocky times earlier this year. Class A looks, I mean, we always say that's wide open. There could be about any team sneak in there, but can't anybody win this in the top, I don't know, how many seeds do you think?
Well, I think Millard South has established itself as the team to beat. I still am concerned about what the Patriots can do against a team that can run and throw, because I just can't get the Patriots giving up 500 yards on the ground to Elkhorn out of my mind. And people say, well, they shut down a Miller North offense last week that's always on the ground. Well, A, there's no passing threat out of the Mustangs, and B, Millard South probably knows Millard North's offense maybe better than some of the Miller North players this year. So, you know, very predictable, and that's no slam on Frappetito or his staff. They will try and play to their strengths, and their strength is the wing bone. But Millard South knows it very well, and they've known it back to when Eric Crouch was playing for the Mustangs and got absolutely waxed 35-0 because Miller North won throw.
Stu, Class B, I'll take Aurora. You can have the field.
You know, you got to remember there's a team back here called Omaha Scut, and they are a pretty well-balanced, good football team, very good playmaker quarterback in Christian Dedzik. They've got playmakers, a receiver. Maybe their running backs aren't as strong as Aurora's, because I like Van Pelt and Nate Suk. Is it Suk or Suk?
Suk.
We'll say Suk for the FCC purposes. So, you know, and Aurora's matchup is probably the dream one. I know Adam Central would like to have another shot at Aurora. You've always got McCook that the Bison felt last week they didn't get what they should have out of the Ogallala game, but playing in Ogallala is never easy, and there could be some snow on the ground for that game, and that's just a good old-fashioned rivalry to begin with. So, yeah, I think I like Aurora in the West, all that said. I like Scott in the East, all that said, and I think that's going to be your game on November 24th.
Stu Pospisil of the Omaha World-Herald joining us here. Stu, Hastings, St. Cecilia. I only see one team that could even compete with them in the West bracket, and that's Crofton. That looks like, and again, every time we say this about St. Cecilia, something weird happens and they don't make it to the West final. But they look far and away like they're going to be playing in Lincoln, and then we just have to see if Boys Town makes it from the East.
That's a very good assessment, Doug. You know, I don't think you can leave out Shattern either.
Yeah, we can. Stu. Yeah, we can.
They did beat Gearing in four overtimes, and I think maybe they're a little bit more balanced this year than just relying on the pass. St. Cecilia is obviously a very good ball club. I want to see their line against Boys Town's line, strength versus strength and a little quickness. Boys Town's just steamrolled everybody, giving up 13 points in eight games. Now, that said, too, Boys Town's schedule hasn't turned out to be as strong as probably what Hastings St. Cecilia's faced, and that shutout over Grand Island Central Catholic in the snow last week certainly caught my eye. I'd like to see that game played in Lincoln, and you know they can declare them Central Conference or Centennial Conference champions as well.
Sue, Class C2, I look at this West as being very, very, I don't think there's a heads and tails. I think Elm Creek's got a great chance. I think Blue Hill's been there, done that. But then you fill in the blanks on who can upset who. I think this is a deep West in C2.
Well, if the interesting game today is Ravenna and Kearney Catholic, since Kearney Catholic handed Ravenna its only loss and was 35-0, and I just think, guys, that Josh Crowell is going to get the ball more than eight times today. he may not hand off. He's been averaging basically 200 yards without that game factored in, and for whatever, and it was a crummy night, wasn't it, that first time?
It was for Ravenna.
But weather-wise, yeah.
Yeah, that was our rain night. I think that's when you were out at McCook Aurora, probably.
Uh-huh. And, you know, I just look for a reversal there. I think Ravenna's very good. Blue Hill, I think it's Chad Hastings. Is that the first name of the quarterback? I know last name's Hastings. I think he's healed from his broken collarbone suffered against their Central. Blue Hill knows how to get done, and they get done with defense. And you're not going to see a lot of points scored in those Blue Hill games. But, you know, I think the Bobcats are definitely pointing towards Lincoln.
Stu, how good is Hardington, CC, in your mind?
You know, I think you got to look at Ponca first coming out of that northeast quadrant. I think that game was 35 or 36-27 first time around. Two good running backs involved with those teams, Jared Curry for Ponca and Chad Cook from Harrington CC. I think Chad's over 5,000 yards for his career now. That whole eastern sector, say north of Elmwood Murdoch, you've got Fremont Bergen in there, Oakland Craig, West Point CC knocked off Oakland Craig. That northeast Nebraska is a very strong pull for C1, C2, you know, all the small school classes. And I think your eastern representative in Lincoln's going to come out of that northeast quadrant.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald. We'll let you get out of here with this. You can go to omaha.com. Go to the high school page. It's great. That's one of the most improved things on any of the websites if you scroll from day to day. They've got some good stuff up there. You can see Stu's picks. But, Stu, the one team that somehow is on the road that you think is an overwhelming favorite, doesn't have to be from the area, but who's a team that maybe got one or two losses that you're saying they should be playing at home and they're going to go beat somebody bad? I saw you pick Pope John to beat Lawrence Nelson, and I wasn't pointing you in that direction, but I thought maybe somewhere else there was an intriguing team. Whether it was injuries, whether it was sickness, a team lost a game that they shouldn't have lost. Is there anybody out there like that?
Well, I think that, you know, some teams to watch that maybe are under the radar a little bit are Pope John, because they were playing in that Hennocker North Central District with Ewing and a better-than-expected Cedar Rapids team. I mean, that's a great record for Cedar Rapids, 6-2 this year. You know, Chambers was in that mix. Lawrence Nelson, I'm not quite sure what the schedule was like for them down their way. Brennan Davenport was said to be a notch down this year, and they beat him last week. That was one I went against. I think it's C1. You got to watch Wahoo Newman, my preseason number one, with Dylan McGill back, albeit not able to throw much. The Cavaliers certainly could make things interesting in that East bracket.
Well, Stu, we'll let you get back to your travels. We'll move on here. We'll talk again soon. And, hey, tell all the fine folks in Burwell hi.
I sure will. And everybody, safe travels out there. Take it a little slower today.
Take care, buddy. Stu Pospisil, prep sports editor of the Omaha World Herald. Joe DiMeo joins us in just a moment. We'll take a break and head to Fantasy Football Talk right after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Danny Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Two guys who get a little emotional when they hear John Belushi yell,
Salon Paw's Pain Relief Patch presents the Ow, My Aching Back Patch, the Just One More Time Patch. Salon Paw's gives you the pain-relieving power of a pill in a patch. It's ultra-thin, ultra-flexible. And Salon Paw's is the only FDA-approved over-the-counter topical pain relief patch. It goes right to the site of your pain. It's the Keeping Up with Johnny Patch and the Boy Do I Feel Better Patch. Get the power of a pill in a patch. Also try Salon Paw's Arthritis Pain, available at major drugstores and local pharmacies.
Not up for getting annihilated by a 300-pound lineman? Can't outrun a gazelle while wearing full pads? Fine by us. Because this college football season, Dr. Pepper will hook you up with scholarship money anyway. Starting in September, Dr. Pepper's giving away $1 million in tuition, including a $1,000 a day giveaway. Just go to drpepper.com for all the details and to enter for a chance to win. Win big, doctor's orders. No purchase necessary.
Hi, folks. This is Darrell Waltrip, NASCAR champion and the proud owner of a geothermal heating and cooling system from Water Furnace. You know, I learned a long time ago that to be a winner, well, you got to have the best machine and the best team. That's why my new home is heated and cooled by Water Furnace Geothermal. It's clean, reliable, economical, and here's the best part. It's made in the USA. Now, in my book, that's a winning combination. So call your local Water Furnace dealer today.
We don't cut corners, Adelphi Heating and Air.
At ENT Physicians of Kearney, we put patients first. For more than a decade, Doctors Owen and Conley have provided unsurpassed care to adults and children with problems and diseases related to the ear, nose, and throat. To learn more about our practice and the services we provide, please visit our website at entphysiciansofkearney.com. Caring for our community, one patient at a time, we're ENT Physicians of Kearney and Family Hearing Center. Whether it comes in a glass, on a plate, or in a bucket, Cunningham's Journal in the Loft has specials that year in and year out make them a favorite for Kearney area sports fans. College or pro, the TVs are always on, the crowd turned up, the food and snacks hot, and the beverages cold. Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, ready to roll through the fall and winter sports seasons. And when the game isn't on, the live entertainment is at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, downtown Kearney.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. On this opening day of the state high school football playoffs, we'll get to that in a little bit. World Series going on, college football, Virginia Tech, North Carolina tonight, tomorrow, West Virginia, South Florida here on ESPN Radio. Saturday, more college football and World Series Game 3. And then, of course, Sunday, it's the NFL, or Fantasy Football Sunday, as we like to say. And joining us from FantasyPlayersEdge.com, as he does every Thursday on the Doug and Daddy Show, Joe DiMeo. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, gents. How you doing?
Well, we're glad to catch up with you. We've already got some questions to get to. Now, seriously, how are you doing in your 700 leagues?
actually, I'm doing very well in the 3 weeks that I play to keep active. Just before we get started, I want to issue one mea culpa real quick. We had an email last week that had me decide between five or six options. It came down to Tim Hightower and Ocho Cinco. I advised to sit Ocho Cinco. back to Mia Cooper. Shout out to the person that I gave that advice to. You know, guys, I make about 600 or 700 predictions a week, but the one or two that don't resonate always stick with me. So I needed to get that out. Thank you very much for your trust, and let's get back after Week 8 and see if we can win. Win that game you're up against.
All right, well, here we go, Joe. I'm going to start with a personal one from me, Doug, right here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We made fun of this earlier in the week. I said, I can't wait to ask you. We are in a touchdown-only league. You cannot drop or add it. Who we've got now is who we've got. So Tom Brady's my quarterback, but he's on a bye week. So I have these two guys to choose from. These two guys, I must play one of these two on Sunday. Jake Delhomme or Jamarcus Russell?
Ouch. oh, my God. It's touchdown only, right?
Yeah.
They don't go with Delhomme because Arizona's not going to let them run. He may throw 17 picks, but he might squeeze out a touchdown or two in that mix.
I know. Just put my head in the car door and slam it a few times.
Slam it hard.
Let's go back to a couple more. Here's one from Tori in Riverdale. He says, I've got a couple questions for Joe. First, Ricky Williams or Frank Gore?
Ricky Williams or Frank Gore. Williams finds himself running up against the Jets this week without Chris Jenkins in the middle. Frank Gore finds himself against Indianapolis Colts, who have a soft interior. I'm going to opt for Frank Gore this week over Ricky Williams, as I think Ricky Williams and Ronnie Brown end up an equal timeshare this week. As you know, Williams got hot last week, and they kept feeding him the ball. He had 90-plus yards and 2 scores. This week it looks like Ronnie Brown will take the lead horse, and Ricky won't have the results he had last week. Frank Gore's the answer.
And also Greg Jennings or TJ, who's your mama?
Oh, golly, golly, golly. Greg Jennings has been an underachiever now for the entire season, goes up against the Minnesota defense in what I consider a highly charged game. Who's your mama is going against Dallas. Dallas came to life last week, but still has allowed a little bit over seven yards per attempt and 10 touchdowns. I think in this particular case, you may want to go with who's your mama.
2 out of 3, Joe. Thomas Jones, Pierre Thomas, Frank Gore.
Thomas Jones and Frank Gore. Pierre Thomas lost carries last week to Mike Bell. Even though Coach Payton insists he's going to give Thomas more carries this week, you still have the Mike Bell overhang, and you still have Reggie Bush coming out of the backfield on New Orleans. And Monday night has a Monday night game against Atlanta. Atlanta, you can run against them, which should bode well for Thomas, but the Mike Bell overhang at the goal line makes it impossible for you to start him. So, Thomas Jones will test a very, very difficult Miami defense, but Pierre Thomas right now is difficult to trust.
Okay, this comes from Joe. What is the status of Calvin Johnson, and does he have a chance to be effective this week?
Yeah, Calvin Johnson was limited in practice today, as a matter of fact. I checked in on Detroit's practice today. He was limited, which means that he's starting to work his way back in. If he has no setbacks this week and he's on the field, you start him. Calvin Johnson on one leg is better than 75% of the receivers in the National Football League. I don't think there's anything that I can add to that. He is one of the top four receivers in football. It also looks like Matthew Stafford's going to be returning, and that duo was starting to gain a little bit of chemistry. And I think what you want to do here is start Calvin, but you must come to the website on Sunday morning at the minimum. Today I do injuries today and Saturday, but Sunday morning at the minimum to make sure that Calvin Johnson is active and playing.
Joe also wants to know, Wes Welker's on a bye week. Would Lance Moore be a good flex guy, or would he be better off playing Crabtree?
Crabtree's got a tough matchup this week. Indianapolis has the best pass defense in professional football, allowing only 5.5 yards per pass attempt and 2 passing touchdowns all season. You're almost forced. I don't particularly like Lance Moore in this application either, but Atlanta is a lot softer in the secondary than Indianapolis is. Atlanta's allowing over 7 yards per pass attempt and 8 touchdowns year-to-date. Go with Lance Moore, but it's not a ringing endorsement. It's just an endorsement of Lance Moore versus Michael Crabtree. Before I go on, I want to go back one more. The more I think about it, I think that that Thomas Jones actually scares the living daylights out of me this week because of the Sean Green overhang. And I think I'm going to amend the answer I gave you, Daddy. I think it makes more sense to risk Pierre Thomas getting more carries than it is to send Thomas Jones hurtling into the strong midsection of the Dolphins.
It's touchdown only, Joe, so that, you know.
Oh, wait, is it touchdown only?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Then you can go with Thomas Jones. I didn't recognize it was touchdown only.
That's like Daddy. He never gives out enough information. See, yeah, that's the way it goes around here.
Yeah, Pierre Thomas is not going to get the goal line carries. Mike Bell is. No. Keep it the way it is.
We're talking with Joe DeMeo, as we do every Thursday, from FantasyPlayersEdge.com. Derek in La La Land, he's actually standing here, so I'm not even going to call it an email.
I'm actually doing my lineup back here, Joe. I got Kyle Orton or Kurt Warner this weekend. One quarterback's got to start.
Okay. Orton has a matchup this week against Baltimore. Baltimore can be had defensively. Their secondary is about fifth worst in National Football League, allowing 8.2 yards a carry. With that said, Kurt Warner finds himself going against Carolina, who has an infinitely better secondary. So what you have is two quarterbacks with disparate skill sets. Warner with with great skills and great receivers against a tough defense versus Orton, who is not going to be able to. His team's not going to be able to run the ball against Baltimore, having to pass against the Ravens. In this particular case, I'm going to go against the matchups and have you start Kurt Warner over Kyle Orton because the game is on the road in Baltimore as opposed to Warner playing at home in Arizona.
Six teams are on a bye week again this week. There are a couple of big time, I would assume most leagues, these two guys went in the first round, probably late first round. Brian Westbrook, who again, you just don't know what he's going to do. LeSean McCoy, I think, is gone in everybody's league. And then because Anthony Gonzalez got hurt, and now you've got Reggie Wayne, who may not play. All of those, Collie and Garcon have probably been picked up in most leagues as well. So you got six teams on bye weeks, and if you're sitting there needing to play a Reggie Wayne or a Brian Westbrook and you can't go with them, anybody left out there, Joe?
Let's talk about the running backs and the wide receivers, who might be on waivers, who might be available. Three running backs I'm going to give you right now, Sean Green, Justin Fargus, Mike Bell. Sean Green will get extended playing time. Leon Washington's out for the season with a broken fibula. So Sean Green, especially if Thomas Jones is ineffective, Green's fresher and doesn't have the fear of the NFL yet. He's likely to, again, it's a tough matchup against Miami, but if you're in a bind you're looking at, Benson, Mendenhall, Williams, Cadillac, that is, Clinton Portis, all those guys, sitting, Brian Westbrook, I don't think, makes it to the dance. And I agree with you, LeSean McCoy's probably gone. Justin Fargus, solid RB. McFadden is definitely not going to play this week. He's a good bye week replacement. Oakland goes against a San Diego defense that has been suspect against the run since Jamal Williams has been gone. They get back Robert Gowdy in their interior, their offensive guard. He could be a surprise this week for yards and a score. And as I was spoken with Daddy a little bit earlier, Mike Bell is going to vulture touchdowns against Pierre Thomas. As for looking at your wide receivers and who might be sitting out there, first one that comes to mind for me is Sidney Rice, if he's available. If he's available. And although Green Bay has a stunning pass defense, and it looks like Charles Woodson will draw Sidney Rice. If you're desperate, Rice will probably ring out 50 yards, and he's a big enough receiver to get a lucky score in the end zone. Another guy you really want to look at this week is Donnie Avery. Donnie Avery is going against the Detroit Lions. This might be the first and only week that I recommend Bulger and Donnie Avery in the same breath. I think the Lions can be had, and I believe Avery will be sitting out there in most leagues. So there's a couple of guys I think that can, absorb some of the bye week people that are sitting out there. Well, last one also, Johnny Knox too, if he's sitting out there.
Joe, great stuff as always. I'm not even going to ask you about Vince Young getting the start for Tennessee this weekend. We'll talk to you next Thursday. And I'm going with Jake DeLone. Big game for the Panthers.
Vikings-Packers, Joe. Vikings-Packers, Joe. Pick it.
I'm going to root for DeLone just for you. I'm going to root for DeLone this week, which, by the way, is like one of the toughest things to do in life. And Vikings Packers should be an interesting game. Thanks as always, guys. Great luck with your team. Great luck out in the greater Kearney area. Good luck, and we'll be back next week to talk about some more fantasy football. Thanks, guys.
See you, Joe. Joe DeMeo. He joins us every Thursday. Of course, you can check him out on fantasyplayersedge.com as well.
How he keeps that stuff free. It's an art. It's an art.
A lot of things going on today. Again, some changes when it comes to the high school football playoffs. Tomorrow, Pleasanton Potter Dix, that's the big one. They have been postponed, and they will play it tomorrow at 4 o'clock. St. Cecilia, they've moved that to the college. Thank God.
Should have been there to begin with, Hastings.
Battle Creek St. Cecilia, they'll play at 6:30. SEM has moved their game up 1 hour at Hayes Center at 5. Callaway at Maxwell, they will play today, but it's been moved up to 3 o'clock. Joe DeMeo, FantasyPlayersEdge.com. Also, Stu Pospis of Omaha World Herald, Brendan Stein joining us on the show, and John Morris, play-by-play man for Baylor University. Tomorrow, Mike Perenio for the Mandalay Bay in Vegas. It's Bruce Furniture Pigskin, Pick'em, Daddy's Picks, all that, and a recap of the football playoffs.
Hey, we'll see you tomorrow, 23 hours from now, Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 on your AM dial in Kearney, 1550 on your AM dial in Hastings. See ya.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.